An enormously consequential political debate is being decided now in the conflict between supporters of the 2018 ballot initiative known as Proposition 4 and the legislative leadership over who has the legal authority to draw political boundaries in Utah. Approved by a razor-thin majority, Prop 4 created an independent advisory commission charged with drawing fair boundaries for congressional and legislative districts. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. Republican leaders insist the state constitution gives the Utah legislature the sole authority to draw those districts. And that's just what it did after the census in 2020. But the Utah Supreme Court ruled last year that the legislature overstepped its authority, and what it's doing now has to be consistent with Proposition 4. A lower court has since ordered the creation of new maps, but the issue is far from settled. This battle is taking place against the background of a nationwide controversy over partisan gerrymandering that could potentially decide which party will hold majorities in Congress after next year's midterm elections. Though new technologies have made the job easier, drawing political districts is no simple thing. They need to be approximately equal in population, and there are many other considerations, such as keeping communities of interest together. Utah Foundation has created a tool on its website that allows users to try their hand at the process, grouping counties and cities together to create proposed districts, and it's not quite as easy as it might seem. Christopher Collard is Utah Foundation's research director.
We actually made this tool back in 2020 when the redistricting process first kicked off after the census. And so essentially what we did is we made a tool where you could go and you can play around a little bit with the districts. One of the main goals of the redistricting process is to rebalance the population. And so that's really what this allows you to do. Just click on the cities and kind of toss them in different districts and see how, you know, what would it take to balance out the population into four different districts, and how you could do that kind of in a simple or way, trying to balance all of these different goals that the redistricting committee does. The one we made in 2020 was still using estimates. We'll just go through and use the actual numbers that the redistricting commission used as they evaluated the process.
If you'd like to try your hand at creating new congressional districts for the state of Utah, you'll find the tool on the website at utahfoundation.org. What does it mean to keep communities of interest together? The legislature's past efforts have endorsed the principle of putting Utah's urban communities together with rural areas, but is that what leaders in those places really want? Christopher Collard says Utah Foundation did a research project to find out.
One of the things that the Redistricting Commission looks at is they want to try and consider communities of interest. So we wanted to reach out to city officials and kind of get a view of how they view themselves and kind of what their preferences are as representatives of their cities. And so we asked them a couple different questions. One is we wanted to start out with something basic and just really try to understand how these communities saw themselves and which communities they thought were like them. Just trying to find out how these communities view themselves. And so most city officials, they tended to, we gave them a map and we said, all right, click on this map of Utah, four to six different places where there's a community like the one you represent. And most city officials tended to choose nearby communities. But this wasn't always the case. Sometimes similar communities were in other parts of the states. There were a couple of examples in Iron County, which is in southwest Utah. One community in Iron County selected another community in Wasatch County, which is more close to the central part of Utah, and another Iron County community also selected a community in Uinta County, which is kind of on eastern Utah. So even though they're not geographically close together, based on their rural status or maybe the breakdown of what relying on natural resource extraction or different factors like that, they might see communities, even though they're kind of across on other parts of the state, as similar to themselves. Although that did tend to be a little bit more of the exception. Overall, communities usually identified with communities in counties of the same size or smaller than their own county. Rarely did a community identify with another community in a county that was substantially larger than its own county. I guess, to try and put it more succinctly, when city officials are asked to identify similar communities on a map, they sometimes choose communities smaller than their own, but they rarely choose communities larger than their own. And so that was the first question that we tried to get at, is just like, what communities are similar to yours? And then we kind of moved to a much more direct approach. You know, think about redistricting. And then we asked, you know, do you have a favored partner or is there a community you would like to be put in with in a new redistricting community? Or when redistricting happens, and if there was a community they preferred not to be in. And we kind of saw the same pattern. Smaller communities wanted to be in an area with other small communities. Essentially, you know, if we looked at all the rural counties in Utah, 70% of the cities in those communities identified the Wasatch Front County as a disfavored county. So these small and mid-sized communities really would prefer not to be partnered with anyone in the Wasatch Front County. And even more particularly when looking at all these disfavored Wasatch Front counties, 70% of the time it was Salt Lake County.
So choosing the type and size of community they might be partnered with in a political district was important to these local city and county leaders, but Christopher says there were other considerations as well.
Some of these priorities include minimizing chopping up counties or municipalities, following geographical or man-made boundaries, preserving the core of existing districts, trying to maximize how these boundaries align with each other to make sure they stack well, so that the state legislature stacks with the state school board as they make these different maps. So we actually asked the city officials about these different priorities, and they put them in a tier. Kind of the two priorities that were most important to city officials were preserving community of interests and prohibiting the intentional favoring or disfavoring of a political party, incumbent, or political candidate. Those were the two things that were most important to city officials. And then kind of in this mid-tier of city importance, city officials identified minimizing the division of cities and counties, and then preserving, kind of following geographical or man-made boundaries. That was kind of the second tier. And then the factors that tended to be a little bit less important to them was preserving the core of existing districts and maximizing the agreement of boundaries within these different types of districts, or making sure the districts kind of stack well together. Those were the things that were less important to them.
In spite of those factors, drawing political boundaries has been a political job, though efforts to create an independent redistricting commission have tried to make it a little less so. The outcome of the current legal and legislative battle isn't yet clear, but Utah Foundation has tried to give citizens and policymakers some insight to help with the process. If you're interested in the survey of community leaders, you'll find the results under Significant Statistics on our website at utahfoundation.org. Thanks again for listening to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas.